about wonderful characters and prophets of God in the Bible. Moses and then David. Last week, John the Baptist. And today, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the prince of all the prophets, for he is the fulfillment of the prophets' words. He'll remind his disciples of that great truth, as we read in Luke 24 a little bit later in our lesson. First off, consider the purpose of Jesus coming into the world. Let's go to the announcement of the angel to Mary in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. It is noted, "You shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Notice that this particular message is said to this young lady, Mary. And it is said in regard to the purpose of the Christ who is coming. He will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That word Jesus means deliverer or savior, one who has paid a price for someone else. It is used of the word Joshua in the Old Testament of the Bible. The word Joshua back in the Old Testament is the word Jesus in the New Testament of the Bible. You remember that Joshua was a deliverer. In Acts chapter 7, you can, in your English Bible, in the King James Version, read the word Jesus about he followed Moses and delivered the children of Israel into the promised land, and they conquered the whole land of great promise. Jesus did that. And yet, you'll note that the English Jesus that's so translated there in Acts chapter 7 is referring to the historical character that lived 1,600 years or more before that time, and that actually is Joshua, as we know in the Old Testament. Joshua following Moses, leading the children of Israel into the land of promise. That's the way that in the English you can see that that word means deliverer. It means one who comes to the scene at a time and delivers these children of Israel into that promised land. Jesus would deliver us from our sins. Remember there, Matthew 1:21? He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Sad it is that the reception of Jesus was really not received well. In John chapter 1, it is noted, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power, exousia. He gave them delegated power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Notice that he came unto his own, and what did his own do? His own denied him, rejected him. We read a lot about that in the book of John, particularly chapter 8 of the book of John, in which they claimed to be the children of Abraham, and they were the children of God. And Jesus reminded them, if God were your father, you would love me. If Abraham was your father, you would understand me. And yet they did not, because they viewed Jesus from the eyes of culture and the eyes of tradition. Instead of viewing him from the words of the prophets and the word of God, and to see him as the Redeemer and the spiritual blessing for the lives of individuals, what they did was they viewed him as a deliverer from the oppressions of the Roman government. And as a result of the Roman Empire being over them and having the various ones in authority, the Herods there primarily, and the Caesars over in Rome primarily, they found themselves disappointed in this Jesus who came, for he was not a deliverer in the way that they viewed him, and thus they began to reject him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But there were some among them that were readers of the prophets, and they did recognize the spiritual blessings and benefit. For example, Zacharias, we mentioned last week, and Elizabeth, and Mary, and Joseph. They were some of those individuals that really looked to the spiritual side of God. And as a result, they came to understand more and more that Jesus represented a cause beyond just the deliverance from the Roman government. Jesus, our Lord, was the deliverer from sin. The word sin means to miss the mark. When you and I, as gunmen or as bowmen, have a target to shoot at, and we miss that target with an arrow, or we miss that target by firing the marksman gun, we have sinned in the meaning of that word. We've missed the mark. We've missed the intended goal. It's not like the old story of the old West of the guy who was being sought out for having hit the bullseye every time. Every time they saw a bullseye on the side of a tree, they saw the circles and they're out dead in the middle. Was a shot that was there. a bullet was there. And some of them, boys and everything, had the habit of digging out the bullet, the lead fragment that was there. Always in the middle. So they began to look for the guy who did this sort of shooting. Fantastic was the job that he'd done. Finally, they located him in a little town in Wyoming. They met him one day and they said, "We want to award you a great recognition for what you've done." And he was bumfuzzled and said, "What have I done?" And they said, "Well, you always hit the bullseye. We're told that you're the marksman who always hit the bullseye." He said, "Oh, I can't accept an award for that." He said, "I'm not really a marksman." He said, "I'm an artist." And they said, "What?" "Yes, I'm an artist." He said, "I draw the circles on the trees, and then I shoot the bullet. I shoot the bullet, and then I draw circles around it on the trees. And so, as a result," he said, "I draw perfect circles, don't I? And I need an award for being an artist, but not for being a marksman." I want to ask you today, did we miss the mark in our lives many times by words that we say or think or the thoughts that we do? And the mannerisms that we have in life, we miss the mark of Jesus' intention. We miss it because we do not necessarily shoot at it. Sometimes we miss it because in our pride of our best efforts, we still miss that mark that we shoot at. He is willing to forgive us. He's willing to care for us. And in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said regarding himself, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Even these individuals described in John chapter 1, he came into his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. Notice that Jesus did not reject them just on the basis that they first had rejected him. He sought to convince them and teach them and show them that he was the fulfillment of the prophet's words, and that in fact he was the Son of God, and that he was their Redeemer, and he came to seek and save the lost. Sad to say for you and me today, we may find ourselves far away from God because of the things that we think and say and do. We've missed the mark so wide that it's far away from the target. But we can be forgiven. We can have the Lord to embrace us and by mercy call upon us. We can have the blessing of God come to us. We can find the wonderful hope of the soul. We do not have to die in vain. We do not have to die rejecting the cause of God. We can face death as a soldier faithful and true. One who is forgiven of the Lord. And that's what's asked of us, is to be faithful, not perfect. Not sinless, but rather faithful. In Revelation 17 and verse 14, John writes for the Lord there in regard to a great, great thing that takes place. He says, these army implements and all these, this false prophet and this old harlot and the old sea beast and the land beast and everything, they will come against you, the Lamb of God. But he shall overcome them. For he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. You and I are called by the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2, we're called by the gospel to the obtaining of his excellent glory. We're called by that gospel. Will we answer that call? Many of us have answered that call. Most of us have answered that call. We too went forward to be baptized into Christ and to begin living that new life. We have a great hope of the soul now. And notice what this scripture tells us. It tells us regarding Jesus giving us the power to become the sons of God. We have the authority to become a child of God. And that child of God role that we play is a wonderful role of forgiveness. And if we are called, chosen, and faithful, as we read in Revelation 17 and 14, we find ourselves being people who will be at the Lord's right hand in this successful, victorious battle of success. It can be said of us, victory has been ours. And though it is the case that we have passed on from this earthly life and been buried away in the silent city of the dead, there lives on for us an influence for good and godliness that goes on with others that we've known in our lifetime around us and others who hear of us in their lifetime. The influence of our lives that we love God and we loved his right way and we loved his righteous cause. and we sought to have the forgiveness of the Lord in our hands. We were faithful to Him. Not sinless in front of Him. Not claiming to have no sin. John writes about that in 1 John 1 when he says, "Beloved, don't say you have no sin. You deceive yourselves and the truth is not in you." But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. While we find ourselves in prayer every day, ringing the portals of heaven because of the request that we make. We call upon the Lord to forgive us for what we've said and done and thought, the mannerisms of our lives. When Simon sinned there in Acts chapter 8 in Samaria and wanted to buy the power of the apostleship, he was told out in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And he prayed, asked Simon Peter to pray for him that none of these things you've spoken will come upon me. And then he further noted this regard. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that the thought and intent of thy heart may be forgiven thee. If he was serious about it, and he was, he would seek that prayer. And he would seek that forgiveness. He, a baptized believer there in Samaria, found himself now away from God because of his sin. What could he do to come back to the Lord? Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. Indeed, Jesus came to be that Savior and that Lord. Do we embrace him today as we should? Do we appreciate his willingness to forgive us as we should? Do we enjoy that hope of the soul as we face advancing years and the health conditions of life that may take us from this earthly life? Do we find ourselves loving this Savior, this Deliverer? He is that Deliverer. He is that Savior for us. And we embrace him and love him for it. It is noted to you and me that we love God because he first loved us. As you read in 1 John 4, beginning verse 10. He goes on to tell about that great love that he gave his Son in our place. And indeed, this Heavenly Father had a majestic plan. Going back to something that I will mention tonight in our lesson study and finish up this particular study tonight, I want to mention this morning before close this lesson today. The Heavenly Father was almighty. Had awesome power and greatness. A great plan was set forth in heaven. A plan at the need of mankind to be met. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, we read about that. And above, we read of the discussion that was held between the Father and the Son. And how the Son very willingly said, "I will go and do thy will, O God." Notice that Jesus came to this earth with a great hope. Knowing that he would face an hour of death, as Isaiah the prophet had predicted in Isaiah 53, who will declare his generation to the earth, seeing that he is cut off from the land of the living. He knew that he would be cut off somewhere, somehow along the way, he would die. Who would then declare his message? And the answer is, people of faith in the Lord would declare his message. And that's what we find here in the New Testament of the Bible. Over and over again, this hope of the soul being delivered. The Lord was strong enough to raise him from the dead. And he's strong enough to forgive us of our sins. Where we have missed the mark and dissatisfied ourselves as well as him. Or sometimes we may have missed the mark and thought that that wasn't a bad thing at all. But the Lord said that it was really a miss from his will. We found in God's word that we were far amiss from his will. Can we now be forgiven and brought back to him and close to him? And the answer comes back to us from God's word over and over again. He who's powerful enough to call back his Son from the dead, he is powerful enough to offer forgiveness of sins for anyone in life. You know, sometimes we get to thinking about certain sins and we really show that we haven't read or we haven't accepted fully what we've read in the Bible about the subjects. We said, because I've done murder, I cannot be forgiven by the Lord. But David back there in the Old Testament, the Bible, committed murder, a heinous act against a man who was serving him very faithfully, very loyally. Could he be forgiven from God? We have no problem looking back and thinking of the wonderful kingship of David and of his life and of his influence for good and godliness. Someone says, I've lied too many lies to be forgiven by God. We show that we haven't read the full life of Abraham. For in the full life of Abraham, did not Abraham go by faith, and yet in the middle of his trip, did he not have a lack of faith and lied about his relationship to his wife, saying that she was someone she was really not? Yet do we think of Abraham as a man unforgiven by God? To the contrary, we know that he was the father of the faithful. That emphasis of his life was not upon the one sin that he did, the time that he did it, and it was a malicious thing. Caused plagues to come upon the household of the Egyptians. Yet God forgave him. Someone may say, I have done this, that, or the other. Whatever the name of that particular topic is, I can't be forgiven by God. Keep reading in God's Word. Ask of others, is there someone in the Bible that faced this kind of situation? And you will find that there's a Jacob of deception. You'll find there's a gentleman who suffered mightily and his wife rejected him. You'll find a gentleman whose brothers sold him. You'll find people who could be forgiven. It is a wonderful thing when we have a deliverer like Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. And even those who rejected him, he would give some of them the power to become the sons of God. They just changed their minds. Take another look at him. Today, as we sing a word of encouragement, think about your relationship to the Lord. And how that if you have been baptized into Christ and the days gone by and have drifted away from him, notice that he can forgive. And like Simon in Acts 8, repentance and prayer can be the answer for you and for me. We'll pray with you and love you and care about you and look forward to a good hope of a soul for the future. One of these days when life here on earth is over, wouldn't it be good to have at your tombstone a notation that I once upon a time in my life was lost but now I'm found. I once rejected him. But I live to receive and accept Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. What a great hope. Won't you come to him as we stand together and as we sing.